Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Menachas Lamed Hey, Menachas 35a, pagination is 69. One of the beautiful things about studying Jewish law is that we're very careful to substantiate each law in terms of its origin. If something is rabbinic, we want to know about it. If it's biblical, if it's a tradition, what type of tradition? Is it a custom that's been decided based on the wisdom of the generation? Or is it a tradition that's, as we'll see in this session, based on the teachings at Sinai, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? Now, we readily understand that there was Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. No textbook could convey any wisdom properly. The example I like to give is in cooking. If someone tells you to do a dash of pepper, you have to know what a dash is. Likewise, the capital T or the lowercase t in an ingredient list, tablespoon and teaspoon, if you don't have the tradition, then you're clueless and the product will not work. Similarly, we're very well aware that if the Torah tells you, you should do shechita, but Moshe had to be taught what shechita is, what a sukkah looks like, etc. And the same is going to be true regarding tefillin. What our Gemara does for us, though, is identifies the different parts of the tefillin and identifies which ones are Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that they're necessary to be done quite like that. And presumably, you might be able to consider some things in the production of tefillin that might not be Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. They might just be common practice. And you would need to know which things are binding and which are not. Let's begin trying to do a bit of an overview of today's daf. About 12 lines down, the first characters on the line are Lamed Shin. And then we begin. V'omar Rav Chananel omar Rav. Rav Chananel said in the name of Rav, Titura ditfilin halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. The titura, that's the part that's the bottom when you're wearing the tefillin, the part that closes the boxes, the inside compartment or compartments of the tefillin, that part closes up and it's called the titura and it is necessary halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Rashi explains this based on the Shel Rosh. He describes that they're like fingers as you process the hide and form it in the mold, step by step, until finally you get this very beautiful, symmetric shel rosh of four compartments. And he writes that the last compartment, v'dalad nisheres arucha, there's a part that's going to remain long, v'kofla la'osa orech, and you're going to fold it over, Umatilo al chudon shel gimel hadefanos, and you're going to fold it over so that it closes off and seals up the other three sides of the tefillin, and that's how it gets sewed and sealed. Likewise, continuing in the Gemara, Amar Abaya ma'avarto de tefillin halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. The part called Ma'avarta is also Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, Rashi explains. That's the part of the base that's protruding beyond the box of the tefillin. And that protrusion is going to get the strap going through it, Rashi describes. Ke'en she'osim l'fi ha-mechnasayim, like is done for a pair of pants. Shalotei oritsua kevua, the strap does not get established in one spot. Elokishu rotza moshcha elach ve'elach. It's possible to pull it one way or the other. You could lengthen one side and shorten the other. That's called ma'avarta, that it's the place where the ritzua can move. And indeed, if you look carefully at a pair of tefillin, you'll notice that there's an indentation crafted there to demarcate where the square of the tefillin is and where the ma'avarta begins. Continuing in the Gemara, Va'amar Abaye, and Abaye said, Shin shel tefillin alacha l'Moshe miSinai, the shin of the tefillin on the shel rosh, which is on both sides, a shin of three heads and a shin of four heads. That's halacha l'Moshe miSinai. There's a fascinating picture in the Art Scroll book by Rabbi Monk on the Aleph Beis, under the letter Shin. He has a fascinating picture showing that the shin of three heads, which is our common shin, and the shin of four heads, which is this Kabbalistic shin that's on one side of the tefillin, actually interlock as positive and negative images. And a little beyond our session right now, but the Torah was written with fire, and what would be the remaining part of what was not written on? What would that look like? In the case of the three-head shin, it would be the four-head shin, and that's what would interlock with it. So on the tefillin, we have these images of the shin. Continuing a few lines later, now we're almost at midway on the page. Amar Rab Yitzchak Ritzuos Shechoros Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, that the straps have to be black, dyed black. That is also Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. That's necessary for the kashrus of the tefillin. Dropping down towards the bottom of the page, about a quarter of the way up, the first word on the line is lei, and then we begin Tana, we learnt, tefillin merubaos halacha l'Moshe miSinai. That tefillin have to be square is halacha l'Moshe miSinai. Amar Rav Papa said, bitfaron, it has to do with the stitching. It has to be done squared off. And you look at a pair of tefillin, you'll see they're very precise in the way they're stitched. Uva alach sonon, and also the way the box of the tefillin is, that it has to be squared. And Rashi points out the expression, alach sonon, that if something is done properly squared, then the angle has a certain relationship to the sides. And that was the description of a good square. I remember one incident where I brought in a pair of tefillin to be checked by a sofer. And in his expertise, he sensed that it wasn't perfect. He used his tools, very precise tools, and he found that it was off by a slight amount. But I didn't want to tell the person who sent me in to have them checked that they're puzzled just like that. So I took them to a leading posek in the community and showed them to him. And he said that even though the sofer detected, and even though with his tools he was able to prove that it's off by a slight amount, he said, but to a reasonable expert, someone knowledgeable in tefillin, as this posek is, he said, it's ribua nira la'enayim. It is squared off as it appears to the human eye. And he said that that's sufficient. It highlights another dimension to Jewish law, that Jewish law does not require that everybody be a scientist and a mathematician and an expert in every field. There is a certain threshold of what's considered acceptable, proper Jewish observance. And we have to touch base with poskim to make sure that we're on track in that standard. Finally, on Amud Beis, midway on the page, Kesher shel tefillin Halacha Lamosha Misinai, the knot at the back of the Shel Rosh is also Halacha Lamosha Misinai. Rashi says it refers to the Dalid, so that the name Shakai, Shin, then Dalid, then Yud, should be part of the Tefillin, the Shin being in the Shel Rosh, the Dalid being in the back of the Shel Rosh, the knot that holds it to the back of the skull. There are people who have the custom that's expressed as a double Dalid. It looks like an endomem, a square, but the description here is of a Dalid. And then the Yud is the Ritsua, the strap, as it appears right next to the arm tefillin, which we're told is supposed to be connected to the bayis of the Shel Yad. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.